Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is the Goalkeepers Union Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the Sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the phone calling voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. Phone calling indeed.
So it's been a couple of weeks since we were online, a couple of weeks since deadline day, Richard, and a deadline day that was quite busy, to say the least.
It really was. It really was. For a window that I would say on the whole was reasonably quiet. I know we're going to touch on GKs on their way later, and there was a good number, but where you had the Kinski move quite early on in the Premier League, it was reasonably quiet after that, but it all came to a glorious crescendo on deadline day.
It was, I guess glorious is a word to describe it, but yeah, you were on the phone, we were on the phone for quite a bit during that day.
Yeah, I make out as if it's glorious. I'm not going to lie. My stress levels are genuinely, not even joking here, I thought I was going to have a heart attack when I went to bed that night. I couldn't get to sleep for hours. My heart was going, it must have been 150 beats a minute. I was very, very stressed because of a few of the things that happened. I actually counted, a bit geeky this, but I did this quite quickly. I didn't go through individually, but I figured out that the next day or the deadline day, I made 228 calls. And do you know what? I always remember a scene from Jerry Maguire at the start where he makes a point of, I make 260 calls a day. And that always stuck with me. And I thought, that's impossible. But I very nearly got to that amount. And I was thinking, who else in the world makes that kind of calls a day? I can't even imagine the president, Mr. President. I can't imagine he's making that many calls in a day. So I do think I took it to a maximum. I did need a couple of days to recover. I was not in a good place the next day.
That's some serious screen time, isn't it? I guess the majority of those calls on Jerry Maguire would have been via a landline as well. 1996, I think Jerry Maguire was.
It was, of course, the famous scene at the start where he's shouting, show me the money, and you can see the lights on his call waiting, and he misses all the other clients because he's so focused on the one client. And great film, by the way. I actually watched it again the other day. That was like my little post-deadline day movie to watch, and yeah, certainly one of my all-time favorites. It was a crazy day, and a lot of it was actually started by Alex Palmer's move to Ipswich, because that was potentially a little bit unexpected, or very much last minute, but there is always a knock-on effect. And then there was a few other teams that had been waiting until last minute, and certain things open up that weren't necessarily there before, or certain loans that weren't overly expected, which then means another goalkeeper is suddenly available. And the jigsaw that happened on deadline day, and so many happened on deadline day. I bet it was probably the best part of half of the deals that were done in the entire window. Probably the best part of half was done in one day alone. But yes, it was very much a phone calling day. In the end, the goalkeepers all found the platforms that they wanted. So in the end, successful, but it was a tough day.
On the show.
Let's do it.
So you just mentioned his name there, Richard. Aston Villa 1, Ipswich 1 is where we shall start in the Premier League, because after 10 years as a pro, after numerous loan spells at all levels from Step 2 to the Championship, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, after 99 league games for West Brom, he's now 28 years old, and Alex Palmer, who you mentioned just then, bagged his Premier League debut for Ipswich at the weekend. It was a 1-1 draw with Aston Villa. He made 5 very good saves, particularly one at the end that gained most of the attention. Very good performance from him.
Yeah, very good. Very good performance. And as you say, I'll be frustrated by the 99 games for West Brom. So I know a lot of the clubs, Watford certainly do this, when you go into their training ground, they've got all of their players that have played 100 games or more on a big plaque on the wall. So he might have just missed out on that plaque, which seems a bit harsh because he did some great things at West Brom. But no, this was an excellent game for him. As you say, some top saves there. The one in particular, well, a few. You mentioned the save at the end, which we'll touch about, but I enjoyed the save. Where you couldn't see it at first. It looked like the players just kicked it over the bar. But when you watch it closely, you see it just clips off his shoulder. And this was clever goalkeeping because as he turns in, he could have turned in, stayed on his line and looked to react, at which point he's not going to have the time to react and the ball would have ended up in the roof of the net. But the speed of thought to actually get a step down the line, which effectively allowed him to make the save with the shoulder, very good. Really good save, low right, good tip over. And the save at the end, it was an interesting one for the fact that he actually did something different on this save as opposed to the first save that we spoke about where he's then stepped out because he did actually go to ground. Now, that made it that little bit more difficult because he's down on the ground. He's had to get up and then effectively manufacture a save. And where I'll give him credit is the quick thinking to actually manufacture this save because this isn't in any textbook you'll see. He's diving back towards his goal and he's somehow got to deflect the ball to safety. And you watch it again and there's very few options he's got and he somehow manages to almost scoop it behind him to go by the post. And it is a top save. And to do it in the last minute and save your team a point, a lovely moment for him.
It's just a reminder too, isn't it? Not that, I mean, he's 28 years old, so he's not old by any stretch of the imagination, but it's just a reminder to those still hoping one day to be a Premier League goalkeeper that you don't have to come through an academy in the Premier League. I mean, listen, he was at West Brom for a while they were in the Premier League, so technically he kind of did do that. But you don't have to be, you know, all guns blazing in the Premier League by your mid-20s. There are opportunities that can still happen. And who's to say that Ipswich will be a Premier League side next season? They may go down and he'll be back in the Championship. But he's got this opportunity of, you know, 10-plus games towards the end of the season at 28 years old. We saw it with Jason Steele a couple of seasons ago making his debut at the age of 32. There are other examples as well. There's always going to be a chance. There's always going to be an opportunity if you keep yourself ready.
Very true. I think so much of it now is, you know, we look at the different pathways that goalkeepers have got to be playing in the Premier League, and it's quite rare, although we've seen a couple of examples now relatively recently of goalkeepers getting signed from the Championship to then be the number one in the Premier League. And of course, this has come about due to Christian Walton's injury, which has then opened up the potential opportunity of Ipswich bringing someone in. Last season, we saw it with Kaminski getting signed by Luton in the Premier League, but it is becoming more rare, I'd say, on the whole. So it's quite nice to see that teams are still looking at Championship goalkeepers because there is this, and I know we spoke about it so many times on the pod, this idea that, you know, the idea of a Premier League goalkeeper, and it's almost spoke about like they're two different worlds, the Premier League and Championship. Even the analysis on Alex Palmer, and I think it was Joe Hart giving the analysis, it was very, very good, but it was touched upon a couple of times, like, well, that's, you know, almost the expectation of a Premier League goalkeeper is to make those saves. Well, it's still the expectation of a Championship goalkeeper to make those saves. It's not like if you're playing at that level, you can make mistake after mistake. Like, the level is still incredibly high, but there is, I don't know if it's a bit of snobbery with the Premier League where it is seen to be, certainly when it comes to goalkeepers, that much higher than the Championship. But how many Championship goalies have we seen now that have stepped up to the Premier League? And I'd argue that more Championship goalkeepers that step up to the Premier League succeed than a lot of the foreign goalkeepers that come in and don't know English football. So, yeah, like, I wasn't surprised to see him have a good performance. I'm sure that he'll play well in the coming games and continue the work that he was doing at West Brom.
And yeah, I agree. It's definitely the prestige of the fact that it is now the Premier League. I think back in the day, if we're to go way back pre-1992, there wasn't such a perception of the First Division being so much higher than the Second Division or the Third Division, even the Fourth Division. We saw many examples back then of goalkeepers going from Division 4 into Division 1. Doesn't happen as much now, does it? And actually, another goalkeeper there, Matt Sells, who has played in the top flight elsewhere in the world, but hadn't played in the Premier League until he was 30-plus, is, as we've spoken many times on the pod before this season, really showing his mettle. Had another good game at the weekend. Nottingham Forest did lose 2-1 at Fulham, but an excellent save in the first half from Raul Jimenez. And it was such a save and so crucial that 7 minutes later, Forrest went and equalised. He did the same again from Sasa Lukic in the second half, but Fulham went and scored the winner from the resulting corner. So there's the life of a goalkeeper. And I do want to quickly mention as well, we haven't done a pod for a couple of weeks. He made an incredible save from Danny Welbeck a couple of weeks ago in that 7-0 drubbing of Brighton, touched it onto the bar. I think that when you miss saves like that and we don't talk about them, we have to retrospectively speak about them.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And it was one where it is the finest of touches, but the fact that it was, what, a centimetre from being in the goal, you know, that touch made all the difference, although not necessarily all the difference with the scoreline, which is where I guess it doesn't get highlighted. And again, we talk about that quite a bit. But no, the saves in this game in particular, the one, as you mentioned, the first one, full stretch, he's so powerful to get himself to his left, fingertips around the post, top save, and it's fair to say he's had a top season so far.
On to giggling goalkeepers, Jordan Pickford and Aaron Ramsdale. Of course it's Pickford and Ramsdale. Twice from Pickford in Everton's victory over Crystal Palace. So saves from Justin Devenny and Ben Chilwell. Both prompted little sniggers from the England number one. And once from Ramsdale. So he touched over from Kyle Walker-Peters and chuckled away at that one because it could have been an own goal. Nearly caught out, but a very good save. But the bigger talking point here were actually the saves from Antoine Semenyo and Ryan Christie. Very good from him.
Yeah, top saves. I thought the one from the corner in particular, obviously, really good save before that tip over. But from the corner, I think there's a lot to this in that when the ball gets whipped in and it falls in the area that it does, you've got that initial decision as to where to take up, what position to take up. And he's taken that step towards the front post, taken up a really good position, set well. And to get himself, and again, he's had to go back on himself almost to get a hand to it and be able to claw it out. It's, yeah, the athleticism, phenomenal. And actually, the save from what could have been the own goal, again, you actually look at the raw power that he's got, where he wasn't expecting that to effectively be lobbed from his own player from a few yards out. But you see, again, how he quickly adjusts and essentially just jumps off the 2 feet. You know, it's not one where he gets to have a step, so he's just got to explode. And I thought it was a top save. And Jordan Pickford, you mentioned, yeah, a couple of moments for him, and in the end did well with both moments, but a really good example, the first one actually, where the ball struck from distance and he's obviously looked to hold it. And when you see the replay, it's gone right through his hands. Luckily, he's got his body behind the ball and it falls in a safe area. He's able to pick up the second ball. But this is where, and again, commentators will talk a lot about, oh, goalkeepers should hold it, shouldn't parry. But this is a good example as to why goalkeepers will parry a lot of the time. When it's like that, the ball's slippy, it's wet, it's windy. Sometimes it is a much safer thing to parry into a safe area. This could quite easily have gone through his hands as it did, you know, not hit his body and ended up in the net. And of course, he'd be getting all sorts of stick or just dropping it out in front and somebody comes and taps it in. So in the end, certainly, I think the smile was more for the fact that he knew he got away with it to an extent. And the second one in particular, I thought, again, he's looked to read it, looked to be positive, realised he couldn't get there, backpedaled quickly and just readjusted very nicely, you know, when he's at full stretch. Just the faintest of touches to then put it by for the corner. So good awareness here. But again, kind of knowing that he'd made that step forward, had to retreat. Again, you get the wry smile.
Did you ever giggle after making a save, Rich? Ever give a wry smile?
I wasn't a giggler. No, everyone's got their different things they do when they make a save or they have a moment. I might have had the odd smile. I used to smile when I dived. I remember people, like a couple of pictures that you get sent when like you're making saves. And for whatever reason, I was always smiling when I dived. No idea why. I didn't realise I was doing it. I must have just really enjoyed making saves.
I'm trying to think of who else in the Premier League would react like that. There's probably not many others, are there? Who? Maybe Emi Martinez. Maybe he might do it. Andre Onana, possibly. Dean Henderson. There you go. Dean Henderson would probably react like, or might be in contention to react like that.
Yeah, you're right, though. There's not a lot when you think of a lot of the others, you know, it's Alisson. I can't really, they don't show a lot of emotion. Show a lot of emotion, which again, I think is pre-planned to an extent. I think they've kind of built that persona where it is very serious when it comes to their work. There'll be the odd celebration in there, but very little smiling.
Dean Henderson, by the way, wasn't smiling at all in that game with Everton. Twice getting whacked by his own men both times. It was Lacroix, firstly, when he slid in and absolutely nailed him knee to head. He looked, not in the best of shape with one of those cotton buds shoved right up his nose, Dean Henderson. And then the second one was for the goal. It was a good finish. Well, it was an okay finish by Beto, I think. But Henderson wiped out by Munoz. It was, not particularly funny. And he wasn't laughing about it. But when you look back at it, it was quite funny.
Yeah, I felt for him on the first one because it's horrible that. I mean, this is something, again, that doesn't really get appreciated, is when you're diving out into traffic, like it takes a certain amount of bravery to dive head first. You actually think about it logically, dive head first towards your 6-yard box, not knowing who's coming in. And it's actually a really good save down to his right, and nothing worse than the moment you make the save, you suddenly feel that impact of somebody coming in on you with studs or knees or whatever it is. In fact, that was how I broke my cheekbone back in the day. Very similar to that, to an extent where you just don't see it coming. And before you know it, you're lying flat on the floor, and not a particularly nice moment for a goalkeeper.
What happened?
For that was actually more of a one-on-one. And as I've similarly come out, spread, made the save, importantly, and it was actually one of my own defenders running back towards me. So as I'm coming out towards the 6-yard box to then make the spread, he's tried to hurdle me, but wasn't a particularly good hurdler. Didn't actually get enough height, so he's hit the hurdle effectively, which was my cheekbone and eye. And yeah, broke my cheekbone and eye in two places. Well, two places each, so four places. So it wasn't particularly nice.
There was another one, actually, that I do remember with you. It could be this one that you're speaking of. And the reason I remember it is because it's, well, I know of it. I don't remember it. I've since seen it because, you know, it's a banging on about the game, but it was the FA Cup semi-final against Manchester United, when I can't, maybe someone's coming through on goal and Danny Shittu has absolutely cleaned you out, and it is joyous to watch.
Thank you, really appreciate the sympathy there. I think that was actually the game at home. I think I do remember that. I took Jisung Park out, though. That's, I kind of got my revenge. I felt bad, really, because it was Danny Shittu who did it to me, and then I did it in retaliation to Jisung Park. That's, especially Danny Shittu, he must have been 18, 19 stone even then. Like, he was huge, and yeah, absolutely nailed me.
Speaking of one-on-ones, we have to do quickly mention, of course, Liverpool 2, Wolves 1, and Marshall Minetti with the latest case of Alissonitis. This was his debut for Wolves, and take everything away from the fact that it was his debut, that it was at Anfield, that it was against Liverpool, the league leaders. As soon as he picked up that ball, you just knew he wasn't going to score. Or more to the point, you knew that Alisson was going to save it.
Yeah. And it's, look, again, this is, yeah, it's excellent goalkeeping. And if you watch it, and there's a couple of really cute details about this that are worth highlighting. So you see when he threw one-on-one initially, Alisson drops to about 6 yards. The bit that I really enjoy, and it's just textbook Alisson really, is it was the moment the player puts his head down is the moment Alisson takes a step forward. So he waits. The moment he puts his head down, he gets a good 3 yards further forward. Excellent shape that he produces. There's very little that the player can do to actually get it past him because he's so big at point of impact. And it's just everything about it. It's the timing, it's the speed, it's the shape that he produces, the bravery. Just everything is absolutely spot on. And this, as like a case study for a young goalkeeper, is perfect to watch.
Just a few more to finish in the Premier League. West Ham 0, Brentford 1. Thought we'd mention this. Alphonse Areola, very unlucky with the only goal of the game.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, it was an interesting one. In the first save he made, he's tried to guess to an extent. His body weight's to his right-hand side. He thinks it's going to his right, isn't, but does still make the save with his foot. But I thought the save he made after that was exceptional in terms of, we spoke about Alex Palmer earlier, certain similarities in terms of manufacturing the save. The speed at which he then gets up to get across the goal and make the follow-up save, again, excellent. And yeah, absolutely killed by the fact that it's just crossed the line. I mean, we spoke about the Ramsdale one earlier, which, you know, very similar in terms of being behind the line, but the ball not being fully over the line. This one, you're talking an extra inch or two more, but nearly an exceptional save. Very, very unlucky, but goal line technology is what it is, and we can't really argue with that.
Nope, we certainly cannot. But we will finish the Premier League coverage by sounding the goalkeeper assist klaxon. Bart Verbruggen and Ederson. So two assists here, and both of these actual assists, Richard. Not wax up the pitch and not fortune, actual passes. Very impressive from both.
Very impressive indeed. Yeah, no, I enjoyed both of these. Both excellent passes. I mean, the Verbruggen one, you know, he's obviously seen the little gap, played it to the lad. effectively put it on a plate. The lad's just got to bring it down and put it in the corner, which he does very nicely. And then, yeah, Edison, the word I wrote down actually when I was making my notes was just cultured, you know, because it's not like an absolute boom downfield. This is a clip. This is one where it's probably 70, 80% for Edison. It's not one where he's absolutely had to hammer it. He has judged this so nicely to dip over the defender's head. Again, good touch over the goalkeeper. Reasonably simple finish in the end, but yeah, two excellent assists.
Jordan Pickford bagged one a couple of weeks ago as well against Leicester. It's Edison's sixth assist of the season. That's more than any other goalkeeper in the Premier League in history, actually. So it's five goalkeepers that have assisted a Premier League goal this season. That's the most in a campaign since 2010-11. Can you name the top nine, Richard, as a quick quiz of goalkeepers who have made assists in the Premier League? I don't know whether you saw this, but they did bring this up on Match of the Day. So I've not researched this myself. This was on Match of the Day, and I thought, oh, that's a good one to ask, Richard.
Do you know what? I did see a couple, just to correct you, because I know you've said that it was six this season. That's not correct. It's six over the period of him being in the Premier League. It might be two this season.
Did I say six this season? Okay, apologies. Yeah,
no, you know, I like to pull you up on these things. I think it's important. We keep our standards high, Matthew. So do you know what? I did see something, so I wouldn't have known the answer to this, but I'm sure I saw David Seaman on that list. I'm sure I saw Paul Robinson on that list. If I'm going to guess, I would go with Alisson. I'd go on that list. I would go with... Is Fabian Barthez on that list? I kind of feel like he should be, but you're shaking your head. So go on, rattle off the others.
No, Fabian Barthez. There are actually... so you said...
David James.
No, not David James.
Okay, I'm just going for ones that have played a lot of games in the Premier League here. I'm not really putting a lot of thought into this, but go on.
You said Seaman, Alisson and Paul Robinson, and there are, yeah, two others that have actually been on the podcast. From that list, actually, you've got Paul Robinson, Peter Schmeichel is the other who's been on the podcast. The other one I'll leave till last, but the others are Pepe Reina is there, Tim Howard, Schmeichel I've mentioned, Jussi Jaskelainen, and the final one, Big Norm, Mark Crossley.
Well, Big Norm.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Should have got the Peter Schmeichel one. I mean, yeah, that's poor, but okay. No, interesting. Very interesting. It was very different back then. I'd love to see those assists. I'm sort of in my head, and this is probably not necessarily a positive towards these, but I've just got big punts downfield that bounce a couple of times and someone's finished it. Whereas, I don't know, the assists are a bit different now, but maybe that's just being a bit disrespectful. I'm not sure.
No, I think you're right. There might have been the odd occasion, maybe last minute a breakaway. There was actually one Peter Schmeichel I weirdly remember from the 93-94 campaign where he's launched one of his famous throws up to Andre Kanchelskis away at QPR. Yeah. And that was like an assist where he's fed Andre Kanchelskis, but Kanchelskis has still had a lot to do before he scored. But hey, you get the assist, right? We're not going to take it away.
Absolutely. Do you know, I don't think I ever had an assist. And I think a lot of that was down to the fact I couldn't reach the halfway line. It would have needed to have been like an exceptional individual goal if I was to have an assist, you know, like a chip to the fullback, takes on the full team and puts it in the corner. But yeah, never had an assist.
Just finally, I know I said that was going to be finally in the Premier League, but a couple of moments on Sky Sports that we can't ignore,
no.
Just to maybe rile you up. Gary Neville wasn't happy with Philip Jorgensen for the goal scored by Kaaren Mitoma as a result of that Bart Verbruggen assist. And then a couple of weeks ago on Monday Night Football, the game between Chelsea and West Ham, Jamie Carragher, before the game when he was speaking with Gianfranco Zola, said... And I quote, not verbatim, but pretty much, that this season we currently have the worst crop of goalkeepers he's ever seen in the Premier League.
Wow. And okay, right, deep breath. Yeah, look, this is just, it's just bugging me. Do you know what, I was thinking about this yesterday, about putting a post out, and like quite a serious post about how to play in goal if you don't want to get blamed by commentators. Because a lot of the things that they're looking at... I mean, let's talk about the Jorgensen one to start with. Because this is one of those... I think I've said it to you before. Like, you're almost better off not getting a touch on the ball. If you get fingertips on the ball, it's amazing. We had it, and I remember I lost my head a little bit a couple of weeks ago. I can't think of who the commentator was, but it was, I think it was a Leno one where it's similar. Fingertips, and it's hit the bar and gone in. And of course, because he got fingertips, goalie's going to be disappointed. it's the same thing. Like this isn't one that the goalkeeper should be expected to save. Like he's, 18, 19 yards out, whipped it with curl, by the way. I know it's not right in the corner, but it's within a foot, 2 feet of the corner. And actually at the point of where Jorgensen is, it is outside of the post and it's bent in. And he still manages to get across really powerfully, gets fingertips to it. But no way is he keeping this out. And of course, you've got Gary Neville, just the level of goalkeeping intelligence, it's so low, and he's not able to give any other reason than he's got a good hand to it, but it's not able to keep it. No, he hasn't. Watch it, Gary. You've got eyes. Watch it. You can see that it is fingertips, if that, and it's also behind him slightly. So how physically, how logically can you actually keep this out? Anyway, I'm not gonna do it again because I do the same thing every time. It gets me annoyed and then it ruins the rest of the podcast for me. But yeah, no, just ridiculous commentary. And then that from Jamie Carragher again. It's it just said with so little knowledge or intelligence. And actually, the way that goalkeeping's changed now, and this is the bit that they don't get, is that it is very different now in terms of what is being asked of goalkeepers. And by the way, it's very different from what I know as well. So I've had to learn a lot over the last few years in terms of how teams are looking to play and the pressures now that are put on goalkeepers, because the bigger picture is that if a goalkeeper plays a certain way, it might mean that the team score an extra 10, 15 goals a season, but it also might mean that they concede 4 or 5 from giving the ball away. Of course, that mathematics works for the team. They'll happily, we've given so many examples on this podcast of goalkeepers that I'm sure if you look at their stats and what they bring to the team, they're definitely going to be in the plus bracket, but yet they're seen by commentators that are only seeing unforced errors and therefore seeing them in a negative light. It's just the level of understanding of the game of football for a goalkeeper now is so low. And yeah, still there's nobody there to correct them. And yeah, we're just going to keep saying this. We'll be 10 years down the line still doing this pod, still saying the same thing, unfortunately, I think.
So I'm guessing you don't agree with him that it is the worst group of goalkeepers in the Premier League.
No, not at all.
How would you then judge that? Is there any, because at some point, I guess, there would be a case to say that in one particular season, the standard of goalkeeping hasn't been as good as it has been in the past. But how would you ever be able to judge that?
You can't, because look, this is the thing. When I look back, and here you go, I'll give an example of actually where I've seen some of my footage back, like not so long ago. I've still got a couple of reels online somewhere, and I remember watching them. And I was thinking, if I was, when I played, my stock was okay. I didn't really get too much criticism, a few goals here and there and what have you. But even then, I thought the level of criticism was high. I look now, and I'm literally looking at half the goals I conceded and thought, in today's game, that would have been picked up for this. That would have been picked up for that. That would have been picked up. And especially now where the bar seems to have been raised to the point that's just unrealistic. Go back to that Jorgensen one. Like, oh, the goalkeeper has to save that. No, if he has to save that, then there's very little that a goalkeeper can do that's ever going to get any credit. I mean, I was watching the Tottenham game, Man United Tottenham, and again, the preconceived idea that Gary Neville has over Vicario almost makes it impossible to have a good game for him. Even when he's making the saves, there's very little said about the saves throughout. Very little compliments given, because he's already got a preconceived belief about the goalkeeper. So it's not judging it on its merits or judging the situation on its merits. And this is the bit that I find tough, where he, Jamie Carragher, some of these, they've got a goalkeeper in mind that they like, that they appreciate, and they will get the plaudits. The ones they don't particularly like, they'll find what they want to find. They'll see what they want to see. And that's what makes it tough. Because I bet now, if you then watch some footage from even like some of the greats, Schmeichel versus Seaman, and you went through 100 goals that they both conceded, I bet given today's punditry and, wipe out their CV and what we know about them and the respect that they've got and so on and so forth, if you were judging them according to them playing in today's Premier League, of course they would get a lot of criticism for the way that they kept goal then as opposed to now, because the goalkeeper has changed, the shape of the goalkeeper, the speed of the game. I actually, of course, every season it is improving. The goalkeepers are getting better and better, more rounded in terms of what they're able to offer. Unfortunately, the knowledge of goalkeepers is still from 20, 30 years ago, because the commentators are from 20, 30 years ago and they don't understand the modern goalkeeper.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
It is the EFL overview, starting in the Championship. And Egil Selvik, first mention for him, with a big double-hander as Watford won at Middlesbrough, saving from Delano Bergzorg in the second half. Nicholas Schmid, he's had a few mentions on the pod so far since he came in for Will Norris at Portsmouth. A big shoulder slash upper chest kind of save as Portsmouth won at Oxford. A first win in 12 for them on the road. That was thanks to the Austrian stopper who kept out Shemi Placheta. Angus Gunn, alive and alert in the opening 5 minutes of the 1-1 draw between Hull and Norwich. A really good save down to his right to keep out Joe Gellhart there. And an even better stop from Michael Cooper in the game between Luton and Sheffield United. He powerfully parried a flick from Carlton Morris at 0-0, and the Blades went on to win by a solitary goal. But I think the man of the moment in the Championship this weekend was Joe Wildsmith. Last season, the clean sheet club king, if you remember, number one at West Brom now, with Alex Palmer moving on to Ipswich, as we've already spoken about. 1-1 at Millwall, and man of the match for Joe. 4 big saves with an overall very solid, eye-catching performance, I'm going to say.
Yeah, well, I mentioned him first because I thought it was an excellent performance. Top saves in there, really sharp one down low left, a couple of tip overs, one really athletic one in particular, and certainly some big shoes to fill, you know, with Alex Palmer moving on. And I know there would have been a couple of question marks from maybe West Brom fans, given that they're in the mix, and you know, losing a key player at this stage of the season is never ideal when you're there or thereabouts. But credit to Joe Wildsmith, he stepped in. I know a lot of people might have thought that Josh Griffiths would have been given his chance, given that he was brought back from Bristol Rovers, but Joe Wildsmith, fair to say, he stepped in and he's performed really, really well so far. A couple of others you mentioned there, really good save from Schmidt. I just thought the way in which he moved across, and this is that one, when the ball comes across, you can't get there to cut out the cross, but you're almost following the line of it, trying to get as close as you possibly can to then produce that spread technique at the right moment. Just thought it was very brave goalkeeping as well, to make sure he's within a yard or so of the player shooting. Made himself big, really good save. Top save from Angus Gunn, as you mentioned, low to his right. And a big, big save from Michael Cooper too.
Just a couple more to mention in the Championship before we move on to League One. Lawrence Vigouroux, beaten from inside the opposition half of Swansea, fell 3-1 at Stoke. Wanted to get your opinion on that one. And then James Beadle, decent game against Coventry. One moment at the end, which of course everyone focuses on, and understandably so. And before we come to you, we've got a message in from a listener here by the name of Claire Hughes, who says, I play at the lowest, and this is her saying this, by the way, I play at the lowest of the low competitive level, very self-deprecating there, Claire, Division 2 of East Riding Women's County League for Kingswood United Ladies. We'll come back onto that in a moment. But she says, hey, Richard and Matt, been listening for a long while as my son, who's 11, and I, 44, are both keepers, but I'm just on my way back from Sheffield Wednesday v Coventry and had to get in touch. James Beadle, not seen the replays yet, but poor lad. If you haven't seen it, go find the save from a Sakamoto header at 65 minutes. I was sat in the lower Leppings lane end, just behind the goal to the left, the side the header came from, and how he managed to dig it out from midair was incredible. Sadly for him, he then fumbled the ball for Ellis Sims to steal a winner in stoppage time. As a Coventry fan, I'm obviously delighted, but was gutted for Beadle. Hashtag GK Union. Wondered what you made of it.
Yeah, no, well, lovely messaging. And yeah, we'll start, actually, John, I'll start with Lawrence Vigouroux and then I'll come on to that. And I think not much to say on the Lawrence Vigouroux in that we're seeing more and more of these. And this probably goes back to the point just made about modern goalkeeping and where effectively you're playing as a sweeper when in possession. Now, the issue that teams have got, and maybe a lot of Championship teams you could argue, is that where they are giving away possession cheaply in the middle of the park and your goalkeeper is expected to be 30, 35 yards out to be effectively that extra centre-back, if given away possession like that, we're going to see this more and more. And I know that teams are being directed to do this. If you win possession in midfield and you've got opportunity to get a shot away, then do it, because there's, you know, it's obviously a great skill to be able to fire it in from that far away. But again, goalkeepers from 20, 30 years ago would be still in their penalty spot. They're not now. They're stood 30 yards out. So we're going to see more and more of these. And I think that just comes with the territory in terms of playing as proactively as they are. And then with the James Beadle one, like you say, yeah, an excellent game, top game. And it's so funny, goalkeeping, in that if the final whistle blew on 91 minutes, he's getting a 9 out of 10 in the paper, man of the match, so on and so forth. And of course, you have a tough moment in the last moment of the game, and that can shift. But the actual goal itself, you know, we always like to break down the goals and look at them. What I would say is this is an incredibly tough technique. I think, how often is it that someone fires the ball from the halfway line up in the sky so high, and you're effectively taking a cross 7 or 8 yards out? And the difficulty was that he had someone stood right next to him. You know, if he had 10 yards, you can catch it like a rugby catch, you know, in your midriff, and it's a lot safer. But to actually catch it above your head, it's one of the toughest techniques. And I'd argue that you could do this 10 times over and put whoever it is in goal, and they're going to drop three. And genuinely mean that. I know there's a couple of goalkeeper coaches that do a drill. I know one of them calls it a skyscraper, where effectively, and goalkeepers can do this at home, where you literally stood there, just volley the ball up in the air as high as you can and try and catch it at its highest point. I remember I used to do it when I was younger, and it is such a tough technique to master, because again, you're watching it. It's not, the trajectory so hard to judge. Also added to the fact that we're in the middle of February, it's wet, it's windy, so on and so forth. So yeah, I did feel for him for the fact that I just think it's a really tough technique to actually hold on to the ball. And it's, yeah, that horrible moment when you don't, you're then praying that your defenders help you out a little bit. And it is what it is. But again, it's the roller coaster ride that a goalkeeper has.
It certainly is. And just to finish, I did say we were going to go back to Claire's message, because I like to read it out when listeners do get in touch and give us a bit of detail about their career. So she's 44 now, and she said, I played at a decent level, including a stint at Tier 3 way, way back in the day as a midfielder, then had a 17-odd year hiatus, went back, aged 41, started the season as a winger, then our keeper got injured, so I stepped in and loved it. I was enthusiastically terrible at the start, but after 2 years of near enough weekly coaching, I look like I know what I'm doing, and today I got a second successive clean sheet. Yay. Listening to your pod has genuinely got me through some crappy no-confidence times, and it legit feels like it's not such a lonely position with a GK Union in existence. Even the mega-ish Bucks pros make mistakes and have a bad game. It's helped my son and I loads with getting perspective. So a very nice message there from Claire. And as I say, it's great to hear from the pros, be that a player, a goalkeeper, coach. It's also great to hear from listeners who play lower down in the nether regions of the English football pyramid. So if you'd like to get in touch, very easy to do so on Twitter at GK Union, hello at goalkeepersunion.net, or on our phone number 0750 367 3020. And I did say it was two more. It was actually three more, Richard, because we cannot let the championship go without mentioning James Trafford and 11 straight clean sheets.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, I know we're talking about it every week, but to be at this point in the season, have only conceded 9 goals. Do you know what I didn't realise? He conceded 3 in his first 3, which isn't bad, by the way, a goal a game. You know, I'd happily have taken that during my career, but he was 3 in his first 3, which means it's, what, 6 in his last 30, whatever it is. So yeah, just, yeah, incredible. Looking very much on top of his game as a cohesive unit as well, which again, the goalkeeper plays a massive part in that in terms of the work with the defence, the communication, and they just look impenetrable at the moment. So I know they've got another big game on Friday night. In fact, it's Beadle versus Trafford. So two of England's brightest hopes. So that'll be interesting. And you just wonder, can someone break this Burnley team down?
Into League One, where we will have another klaxon. Mark Howard this time launching one up six fields to provide the opener in Wrexham's 2-0 win at Northampton. Christy Pym halting what could have been an incredible comeback from Blackpool in their 3-3 draw with Mansfield. Hayden Coulson here with a rocket to make it 4-3, but not so denied by the Stags stopper. There were nearly 3 goals inside the opening 10 minutes at the Broadfield Stadium. Crawley and Wickham both scoring before Wickham looked certain to go 2-1 up, had it not been for Jojo Wallacott's flying leap to keep out Fred Onyedinma's header. Will Norris at the other end producing similar heroics in the second half to ensure the game ended in a draw. So he touched Russian Hepburn Murphy's scuffed effort wide on his league debut for the club, recently coming in for Franco Rabizzoli, which you might say is slightly harsh, but perhaps we'll get onto that in a moment. Shrewsbury were defeated 3-2 at home to Bolton, but that did not stop Jamal Blackman from producing a save of the weekend contender with the Shrews 1-0 up at the time. Instinctive reactions to touch John McAtee's header over the bar. And the same can be said of Corey Adai, who we've not spoken about in a while on the pod because he was replaced by Ben Hinchliffe at Stockport, and he then replaced Hinchliffe at the halfway mark in that game at Wigan at the weekend. Hasn't played in the league since a 5-0 home defeat to Wickham. Kept his side in front to top save from Ronan Darcy and Jason Kerr. Big goalkeeping in a big game.
Yeah, we'll start with Corey Adai because it's never easy stepping back in like he has, but credit to him because, and again, I think this did get out in the press, but there was quite a lot of interest in him in January, and Stockport made the big call to keep him in the building. And it's for things like this, and this is again where, you know, a lot of the top team, all top teams really, you need two top goalkeepers. And again, he was very much signed to be the number one. Obviously came out of the team for various reasons, but stepped back in to show that mentality. A big well done to him. Mark Howard, just it's like a fine wine, isn't he? Just keeps on going, ever reliable. Lovely assist. As much as I had cultured written down for Edison, I wouldn't necessarily say cultured for this one, but it was a lovely ball. Great strike. Fully deserved his assist. Top save, Christy Pym, as you mentioned. Full stretch to his left. Love the JoJo Wallacott save. Just pure, raw power to get himself up into the top corner. Again, without really being able to get a step in, given the situation, but just explodes up to his right. And this was a top, top save. Really good save from Will Norris as well. An awkward one, bobbling in the corner. Can be tough to judge these sometimes, but again, really good footwork. And I thought I'd leave the Blackman save to the end because I thought this was excellent. So sharp. And again, a goalkeeper that we spoke about pre-Christmas, hadn't played for a long period of time, you know, doing bits and pieces in training, kind of keeping himself ready, but was out of contract for a long period of time, but has really shown that he's still very much up to the level. And I thought this save was exceptional.
And finally, in League Two, big performances from Harrogate's James Belshaw and Crewe's Philip Marshall, both with late saves to keep clean sheets against Swindon and Gillingham, respectively. Joe Day with a zinger for Cheltenham's second goal in their 3-2 win over Barrow. Really lovely ball, this one. Always have to highlight these. Not quite an assist, but a key pass, we'll say. Grant Smith, who incidentally loves a zing himself. Two massive second half saves for Bromley against Fleetwood. First touching a Phoenix Patterson shot wide, then in the 93rd minute, getting whatever he could in the way of a point-blank header from Louis Marsh. Bromley winning 1-0. Brilliant performance from Grant Smith there. Winning 2-0 were Morecambe against Accrington. And a first mention on this pod since episode 121, considering we're now on episode 224, which in itself is quite remarkable that we've done 224 goalkeeping analysis shows. Ryan Schofield signed for Morecambe in January. Really good one-on-one stop from Tyler Walton inside the opening 5 minutes here. Also demonstrated his prowess with that long throw that we haven't seen for a while. That broke the halfway line in the first half. Forgot all about that from Schofield, but good to see him back in action. But game of the day for goalkeepers, perhaps at Brunton Park between Carlisle and Colchester. For whatever Matt Macy could do, Gabe Breeze could do better. Macy with saves 5 minutes apart from Stephen Wynne and Elliot Embleton. Full stretch to his right with both. But Breeze blocking in the first half from Lyle Taylor. It was the one-hander, however, from the same man in the second half that stole the show. What a save this was. What a bunch of saves we saw in the EFL this weekend. The ball across the box, it was practically an open goal for Taylor. He's hit it into the ground to actually make it a little harder for Breeze to judge, but he's tipped it over. Just a fantastic save.
Yeah, well, I think I'll finish with that one last because, as you say, that was definitely, for me, save of the weekend in League Two. As you mentioned, great, well, assist. You said it wasn't an assist from Day. I'm having that as an assist. It's got to be, surely. Or do you think there was a touch in between somewhere?
Well, there was, wasn't there? There was a pass in between. It's not a direct assist.
Was there a pass? It's funny, I've watched it and in my mind I've got it as an assist, but I mean, if you're telling me there's a pass,
let's have another look at it, shall we?
While you're looking I'll describe it. Let's do that, because no, I just thought the trajectory on the ball, in fact all the other assists we spoke about this weekend have all been from the deck. This is the only one from the hands, and thought it was a really nice side volley in that he just kept the trajectory really low in order to put the player in. As you say, big performance from Grant Smith. Nice to see Schofield back. Really good spread save in that. Matt Macy, very good as well, but I had to talk about the Gabe Breeze save because I just thought, a couple of big saves in this. But that one towards the end, when you're going back across the goal, and we spoke a lot this pod, it seems, about manufacturing a save, because that's one of them where you're just doing anything to keep it out the net. But to have the speed of thought and reactions to get a big enough hand and get it over the bar, yeah, I thought it was exceptional.
I've had a howler.
All right, when I?
I've had a Richard Lee. That's what we're going to call that.
Don't try and deflect. Don't try and deflect just because I've now pulled you up on a couple of things this pod. That's unlike you. We keep our levels high.
I can't believe I've done that. I've just watched it again. So can we have the goalkeeper assist klaxon, please? Can't be taking that away from Joe Day. Yeah, that's. I don't know how I've seen another pass in that move. That's a brilliant assist.
Do you know what it is? I mentioned it earlier. Gary Neville sees what Gary Neville wants to see. You've seen what you wanted to see. I don't know why you want to take it away from him. It might be personal. Joe, if you're listening, we can only apologize. I don't know what you've done to him, but I hand that very much down in capital letters. Assist. Great trajectory.
Apologies, Joe. Apologies. Okay, so at the request of Richard Lee, no clean sheet club this week, right?
That's right. This is already, look, we're, 40-odd minutes in, Matthew. I bet a lot have switched off by now. If you're still listening, thank you. Thank you, because, I mean, I don't know if I'd have made it this far. I mean, some of the nonsense we've been talking today. So I think let's cut clean sheet club today. I think we all know who's top of it anyway. Like, you know, he's kept 11 in a row. I'm pretty sure he's still winning. So look, we'll save that until next week, and then we can maybe go into clean sheet club a bit more. But of course, we have got GKs on their way, and a very funny keeper caper as well, I'm aware.
We do. Okay, we'll move on. Sorry to those who kept clean sheets at the weekend, but Richard Lee just feels like we're going to ignore it. So that's absolutely fine. We'll move on to...
I'll tell you what, we can do it if you want to read it. Because I know you'll have written it all down. You'll have some funny ones in there. Go on, fire away.
No, it's fine. It's fine. We'll hold off until next week. Too much of a good thing, Richard. Too much of a good thing. So it's time... for two of these.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper caper.
Yes. The first of which is decent banter, I'm going to say, from, and I want to try and pronounce this in the best way that I possibly can, Kyra Ellie is what I believe the pronunciation is for that Welsh team. Their fans on George Ratcliffe, the goalkeeper for Connors Quay in the JD Cymru Premier. This was, a water bottle that had no water in it.
Yeah, so... essentially, they had poured out the water when he wasn't looking. Is that right?
He was obviously not looking. Someone snuck onto the pitch and squeezed all the water out of the bottle. He's then gone to take a sip from the water bottle. They've waited patiently for him to do that. And as he's approached the water bottle, they've all started building it up. Oh, he's obviously got no idea what's happening. He's attempted to take a swig and nothing's come out, prompting huge cheers from the fans. And then a chant of, "Where's your water gone? Where's your water gone?" Which was, took it in good faith.
He did. I don't know if I'd have taken it that well, because that was kind of, that was a thing for me. Like every time it was a corner or, you know, a break in play, I'd always go back to my goal, just a little sip of water, stay hydrated. And I used to mix my water with like a bit of Red Bull as well. So just give me a little bit of a boost. And I'd have been fuming if someone had poured mine out.
Fair play to him. He did actually retweeted the tweet and just said, "Done me like a kipper." So nice. Well done, George. Took it in good spirits. The other keeper caper is an extraordinary piece of control from the Sporting Lisbon goalkeeper, Rui Silva, the third goalkeeper they've used in the league this season. But yes, a flighted ball back to him from his defender and take it away.
Yeah, panic. Just absolute panic. I mean, I watched it and it horrible, horrible moment for him. For a start, terrible back pass. I mean, to fire it back to your keeper from the halfway line, you know, at that kind of pace and in the air. But you see him, you can just see as he's backpedaling, he doesn't know what to do with it. And the funny thing is, if it had actually just left it, it was going wide, you know. But it was the fact that he's tried to almost control it with the outside of his foot and just inadvertently put it into the middle of an empty net. And just panic just in that moment. Terrible back pass, but he just wasn't able to keep his composure in that moment, unfortunately.
Yes, if you want to see that, it'll be on YouTube. Just type in Rui Silva and Aruka. Is how I think you pronounce that. Struggling with team names to pronounce this weekend. But as you say, we do have the return, the one-off return of GKs on their way, because the January or the winter window is indeed shut. So it is time for this.
GKs on their way. I say GKs on the way. GK's on the way. I say GK's on the way.
Right, so there are a few. You want me to read out all of them, and then you're going to comment on one or two.
I think that's best. Just quick fire, go through all of them, and I will be certainly picking out a few that I thought were quite interesting.
Okay, here we go. Okay, deep breath. This is going to take a while, by the way, just as a warning to listeners. Antonin Kinski, Slavia Prague to Tottenham for 12.5 million. Marcelo Pitaluga from Liverpool to Fluminense on a perm. Gavin Batsunu has gone to Standard Liège on loan until the end of the season from Southampton. Alex Palmer, who we've spoken about already, of course, from West Brom to Ipswich for an undisclosed fee, which meant Josh Griffiths was recalled to West Brom from Bristol Rovers. That meant Jed Ward was recalled to Bristol Rovers from Forest Green Rovers, which meant that the door was open for Fabian Morozek to go into Forest Green Rovers from Liverpool on loan until the end of the season. A few more loans until the end of the season. Mark Travers from Bournemouth to Middlesbrough. Zach Hemming from Middlesbrough to St Mirren. Marco Morosi went in on a permanent until the end of the season to Cambridge. He was unattached. However, he picked up an injury, which a number of goalkeepers have done during January, despite signing for clubs seeing changes therefore happening. In this case, Nathan Bishop into Cambridge on loan until the end of the season from Sunderland. That is the first of a few Nathans. Nathan Broom from Swansea to Port Vale on loan until the end of the season. And Nathan Harness, who had gone to Southend on a one-month loan initially from MK. However, Southend then moved quickly to sign Nick Hayes from Barnet on a permanent, so Harness went back to MK, and Owen Evans went into Barnet from Cheltenham on loan until the end of the season. Miles Roberts also on loan to the end of the season from Watford to Bristol Rovers. Will Norris from Portsmouth to Wickham on a free. That meant that Ben Killip could go into Portsmouth from Barnsley on a six-month deal until the end of the season. And that meant that Joe Gauci went into Barnsley from Aston Villa on loan until the end of the season. A few permanents here. Conor Truman from Millwall to MK. Joe Hilton from Blackburn to Bradford. And Connor Ripley from Port Vale to Swindon. Egil Selvik from Horgeson to Udinese. And then from Udinese to Watford. So twice moving in the window. You don't see that, if ever. We'll speak about that one afterwards, no doubt. Elsewhere, Matt Cox from Brentford to Crawley on loan until the end of the season. He, however, has picked up an injury already, so that one is pretty much done and dusted. Tom Donaghy, man of the moment in the National League, from Fleetwood to Boston on a one-month loan initially. He's now at Oldham on loan until the end of the season. Andrew Wogan went into Marine from Wigan on loan until the end of the season. He's since picked up an injury, which has seen Max Metcalf go into Marine from Stockport on a one-month loan until Wogan returns. Killian Barrett had gone into Solihull for a couple of months loan from Sheffield Wednesday. However, they've since signed Ollie Wright from Southampton on loan until the end of the season. He was at Yeovil for the first half of the season, but they sent him back and brought in Aidan Stone from Notts County on a permanent. Will Brook has gone into Farsley Celtic from Nottingham Forest. That's a loan until the end of the season, as is Felix Goddard from Blackburn to Ebbsfleet and Jimmy Storer from Wolves to Chester. And just a few more. Lewis Webb has gone into Newport unattached on a free. Sam Sargent unattached to Sligo Rovers. Ryan Schofield, who we've spoken about, unattached to Morecambe. That's until the end of the season, as is a loan of Lewis Jones from Doncaster to Dagenham. Adli Mohammed from Southampton to Dubai United. And one that doesn't involve any English or British clubs, but we like to mention him from time to time. Loris Karius unattached to Schalke until the end of the season. And that is pretty much that.
Good work, Matthew. Fired through them. Very impressive. But no, look, just to mention a few, really pleased for Gavin Batsunu. Obviously had a long injury. Come back. Of course, Aaron Ramsdale's doing very well at Southampton, so no real opening there. And it was just a question of whether he'd go potentially on loan to the Championship, but very few openings in the Championship that you've mentioned there. I know we'll touch on one or two, but very good loan for him. It'll be really interesting to see how he gets on at Standard Liège. Obviously, Kinski, it's amazing really that, you know, and that was obviously a big fee paid for Kinski. Not really much money spent at all other than that. that I can think of. But yeah, obviously big move for him to Tottenham. Started very well and he's had a bit of a tough time recently, obviously Vicario coming back. Really curious to see how that plays out there now going into the summer, where Brandon Austin obviously stepped in, did brilliantly for a few games. Whether they can keep those three happy going into next season, where you've got, I suppose, three younger goalkeepers effectively. Alex Palmer, of course, we've mentioned him, and certainly started life at Ipswich very well. Travers was an interesting one for the fact that he played in the Premier League not so long before his loan move. But again, I quite like this for the fact that he's obviously just desperate to be a number one and to really play. It's a good loan move for him. You mentioned Ben Killip. I know there's a lot of interest in Ben Killip on deadline day, and obviously got himself up to the Championship, so a nice move for him. The only other one that I'll mention for now is Selvik, because that was quite interesting. And again, I think it was the fact that he went on a free to Udinese meant that he can move twice in a window, because ordinarily two permanents in a window, that's against the rules. But I think there was something to do with the fact it was a free to Udinese, then a free to Watford, so there was no monetary gain. Of course, the clubs are linked, so there was a certain agreement there. But the fact there was no monetary gain, I think that's how that was allowed to happen. And it'd be really interesting to see how he performs in the Championship.
Good stuff, Richard. Okay, quite a bumper show this week.
It was indeed. Well, I mean, we haven't done one for a couple of weeks with the craziness of the window, the fallout of the window, us being here, there and everywhere. But we are very much back on track and no doubt very consistent between now and the end of the season, I think.
Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, keepers
away.